Parks Director Darvill is now present, so we're nine out of eight. So we're doing really well for this time of the year. The next item for the agenda is the primary reason that we're meeting this evening. So let me present a little bit of background. As you know, this task force and the county have first worked together to prepare a request for proposals for additional consulting services to assist the task force in fulfilling its mission. Remember, we reviewed the draft of the RFP, and then it was issued, and we've had several reports since then on the progress with respect to it. The consulting group headed by HDA has been engaged with to provide us with the services that we require. The HDA team has put together a response that helps us to understand better in the public what it is that how they hope to go forward in fulfilling the requirements of the contract. I think the contract, is it technically signed yet or something?
Last Thursday.
So we've just completed the contract work to engage them. So I think we should recall, as task force members in the public, that this consulting group is very, very much at the very first stages in engaging on the work that the contract calls for. We thought, and I think we discussed at our last meeting, that it would be important, though, for us to have an opportunity to engage with the consultants and the consultants to engage with the task force to make sure that we're getting off on the beginning of this consultancy arrangement on the right foot or on the same foot, anyway, that we are working together and have a common understanding of what will be accomplished and what the purposes and intents are of receiving the information from the consultants. So that's the background. I think we have posted on the website the response that HDA made to the request for proposals for public review, and you may end up wanting to look back at that after you hear some of the discussion. And otherwise, I think we can now turn this over to Jim Vanderheiden. Jim, would it be helpful for the commissioners to introduce themselves to you? So let's do that, and then you can introduce your team, and we can go on through this. Michelle?
I'm Dr. Michelle Brienne, the CEO of Journey Times.
Good evening. Ian Bautista. I serve as the executive director of the Clark Square Neighborhood Initiative.
Hi, John Darvill, Milwaukee County Parks Director.
Jason Hans, Chairman of the County Board Committee on Parks, Energy, and Environment.
Roger Krowicki, the current president of the Friends.
Don McCarthy, Milwaukee Preservation Alliance.
Jeremy Tice, Facilities Management Division Director.
Vanell Washington, Assistant Vice President, Business Banking at Town Bay.
First of all, thank you for the support of the county and for your support in terms of coming forward and being your partner, your consultant on this project. My name is Jim Vanderheiden, and I'm a principal at HGA for this project. And with me, I have Russ Drury, who is our project manager for the project. And projects like this, when we took a look at the scope in your RFP, require quite a few different types of consultants. This isn't a straightforward architecture or engineering sort of study, as you know. And it requires people that do feasibility, financial, market studies, and analysis. And so we have on the phone with us today Bob Braze from Consult Econ, and he's calling in from Cambridge, Massachusetts. And we've cobbled together as much technology as we can muster here today to see if we can hear Bob on the phone. Bob, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fairly well. And can you hear me?
Vaguely. I guess if we're all make believe we're in church and we're quiet, then I think we can probably get through this.
Drop the microphone by the phone.
I think we
can
probably.
And this will certainly put them very close their heads together. We'll certainly see you this way. Maybe not for work.
All right. We're going to try to put a mic by your speaker here in a moment, Bob,
okay,
and just
good.
See if that helps. I'm not sure what kinds of noises it might make. All right, Bob, can you speak to us now?
Sure. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Just like you're sitting in the front row.
Oh, good. Great.
All
right. Okay. Well, we're very pleased to be working with HJGA on this project, and we're delighted to work on this important project at the Dome. And as Jim said, so many projects of this sort where there's physical entities and there are programs and things happening inside, we'll call it an education or a cultural attraction. The way to plan for the future is to have a multidisciplinary approach that really includes what are the markets for the alternative uses, what are the economics of those uses, what are the physical possibilities, and out there, what are the ideas that would be evaluated through those and other lenses for continuing current uses and maybe adding some uses. So that's kind of our understanding of project. And as was said early in the earlier introduction, we're on a very beginning of the project. So we're really interested in learning more about your understanding of all of those topics and how important the domes are to the community.
Okay, thank you, Bob. And we're going to be back with you in just a moment.
Yes.
Since we haven't really started our study yet, we thought we would take this opportunity to share with you a few slides that we shared with the selection committee when we were interviewed and selected. And the slides sort of share our point of view, our understanding of what you've asked for in the RFP. And we thought by sharing some of that, it might be a nice opportunity for you to add or subtract that understanding. And we're hoping that tonight can be a dialogue with the task force and perhaps some of the public to make sure that we understand your intent, your goals for the project, some of the opportunities and challenges that you might see as we begin. Because once we start, we're going to move through this pretty quickly in the next few months, and we'll share a little bit of schedule overview as well. So tonight, we're hoping for a conversation with you all. Since you've been at this quite a bit longer than we have, and we certainly understand there's been a lot of study that has taken place over the past months and years on the Dome's buildings. So we're trying to catch up and make sure we have a full understanding of all of those issues as we begin. So Russ and I are going to try to move through this from our end. Russ, do you want to try to advance the slides?
Okay.
So, first thing I thought we would go through is just what are the goals of the study. And what's on the screen right now is text right from the RFP that we responded to. And inside here, I think, are a few sentences that are pretty important. One, develop a vision for the future of the Mitchell Park Horticultural Conservatory and to review the services that the conservatory provides to the community as well as to provide a sustainable facility. And then to determine the description that Jim and I are used to, which is why we have brought on Consulting Econ. So the team is being managed by HGA, and then any architectural and building support will be providing input on. Much of the work is being done by Tom's group in Cambridge with Consulting Econ. And then, depending on where this path goes, our engagement may increase or decrease. We have a community outreach program in mind, which is going to be headed by Continuum Architects. And then we brought in some support groups. We have a greenhouse consultant, a civil engineer that can help us with some water and site issues if necessary, and then an ever-important cost consultant from Middleton. So what the RFP had was three phases. The first phase is the feasibility study, where we'll be studying various elements of the facility, programs offered, the structure, operations, et cetera. This will be followed by the public outreach and to test some of these, some of our findings. And then, and finally, the conclusions of these will be implemented by testing these further through things Jim and I are a little more familiar with, drawings and building solutions. That isn't part of our current scope that we're contracted for, so what we're working on is just phases one and two for now. It's a pretty aggressive schedule, so for phase one, we'll be starting with info gathering, which is really, this meeting is the first initial part of that, looking at, you know, how things are being handled currently, getting some public input, and then looking at other facilities around the country. Studying some of the elements of the program that you have here that Bob will expand on a little bit later. And from here, we'll be able to identify opportunities. And with these opportunities, we assemble what we're calling scenarios. So multiple opportunities might be joined into various scenarios. And as I mentioned, this is tested in phase two, which will be at the beginning of 2018. And then hopefully this will lead to some type of implementation of what we're up against. So Bob, if you want to describe your planning for phase one.
Yeah, I haven't been able to see the screen, so I've been kind of following along. And are we at slide six?
We're at the study elements slide.
Components of the study?
Yeah, with the five.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So the parking area one, the technology is broken down a little bit here with regard to being able to see the screen. The phase one feasibility study really covers the point of discovery, that is to say, what has been going on with adults over the years. What are, in terms of both the usage patterns and operating costs, earned revenues, in that sense of discovery, and where we go from here, what is the baseline of operation? Then we are going to be visiting with you all and visiting Milwaukee, and we'll be working with HGA and looking at discovery of opportunities, and those opportunities may be ways to better operate or find new ways to use the domes pretty much as they are, as it were, or to add additional uses, or even, you know, some ways to integrate the domes into the park. Different ideas for ways to move forward such that the domes are operating at a higher level of efficiency or covering their costs more, or are worthy of additional outside support. Whatever it may be, the options for moving forward, each of the options will be evaluated based on potential public support, and that may be both resident market, how would the local and or Milwaukee area folks use that differently than they are now? Would it be more attractive? Would it bring more repeat visitation? Whatever it may be that way. And then other ways to use that these various opportunities might bring in tourists or other outside users for the dome, earn more revenue and or create more support for the dome. Then we would evaluate what the operating costs related to that are, and therefore you start to get an idea about the economic feasibility of operating under a couple of scenarios that include those opportunities. And that would be then, during that whole time, where we have this series of meetings with you, the committee, and with the county and county representatives to provide feedback back and forth on these opportunities and the various input that both you and the county would have against those opportunities. And once they come down to preferred alternative, then we're presenting that as, in a sense, the preferred alternative, ready for public input in task two or phase two. From there, the public outreach program, to get that input, and then the decision is made about where to go from here with regard to further physical evaluation and other portions of the total planning process that haven't been contracted as of yet.
Hey, Bob, can you clarify what slide you're speaking to?
So I think I'm on slide 6, components of study.
Okay.
And it would move into schedule.
Okay, we're on the revenue generation and financial impacts. So it's slide 2.
Okay. So this there's a couple of diagrams here, and you know, in a way, I had outlined the total process in those first remarks. And here, the diagram, I think, which is most useful, is the one with a few boxes that have arrows back and forth among those boxes. And I think everybody would see, well, everything's related, yes. So the point there is that, obviously, you have to start somewhere. And really, it's probably the project concept. Well, what are those opportunities that the domes would present? And I talked about trying to identify some ways to either modify or change uses, add programs, and all of that. New uses, all those sorts of things. So if we have certain project concepts, then we would be evaluating what's the market support for that. And the market support, if it's really strong, then it might swing over to the funding, and gee, if that market support's really good, well, it's probably, it would be more appealing to project funders to invest to get that project concept moving forward. Now, the operational support means that, well, what sort of revenue would we be earning from that market that's supporting that particular use? So how about that revenue? If the revenue isn't high enough, we may have to go back to project concept, or we may have to ask the powers that be, as it were, or what the funding sources, is it worthwhile to provide additional operating support? So it's always that iterative process of moving among these nodes, if you will, that kind of are the pillars for evaluating how to move forward. That makes sense? Any questions about that?
Questions? Questions from the task force? Don McCarthy?
When we're discussing we can only have one wireless mic on at a time, and that one is on the table. So
when we're discussing project concepts, are we still talking about the conservatory? Are we talking about projects that are conservatory based, or are we?
We don't know at this point. I mean,
And I couldn't hear that particular question.
Bob, the question is, are the concepts that we're looking at all conservatory based? And
say that one more time. What we're looking at what?
Are all the concepts we're looking at conservatory based?
Oh, gee, yeah, and I think I heard you say we're not sure. And really, so often in a process like this, we are consultants to the owner and the client group. So I think that we would be looking to the Milwaukee stakeholders to give us cues about that. And so certainly, botanically based uses are obviously will be part of the project concept to be evaluated. Now, whether if there are other things to add to that's a possibility that will be explored in the opening sort of period of the process in order to identify if there are any, and if there are any non-botanical garden related uses, and whether they're getting support to move through that kind of iterative process towards being, included as a scenario worth evaluating.
Does that answer your question? So, Bob, we're on the operations and management slide. Do you want to?
Yeah, and this is in form. This little diagram is close to the last, and that everything affects everything. But in this case, it's really focusing on operations and management. So this would be the kind of evaluative process we'd have once we pull together scenarios. We would say, well, on the left hand side, from a market and operating perspective, well, what is this location and how is the building, and what are the attributes of the location? Is it accessible? Is it visible? That sort of thing. What are the uses that would be in that scenario for at the dome. So it's really what's happening there. Do those uses have target audiences? Because there may well be, education groups, there may be garden enthusiasts, there may be folks interested in doing meetings, there may be events, social events, a number of events. So what the target audiences for the particular uses, exhibition, exhibits, programs, meeting spaces, event spaces, and so on, that may be part of a plan to move forward with the dome. So how do the target audiences relate to those? At the top would be, well, if we've got certain programs and things on and audiences for certain things, does the organization that would operate the dome stay just the same as it is now, or would there be changes in that? And are there implications to the feasibility of adding staff, the staff, down staffing? So what is it? What would be the organization needed to operate that scenario that has things going on and has target audiences? Once you've got an idea of how you'll operate it, from the perspective of staff and all that, all this is a rush, is the attendance potential. So attendance potential is based on what it is, how you operate it, what are the target audiences. You look at those factors and then start to provide input to the, what would be the usage patterns, what would be the earned revenue potential. Okay, so that's coming out of starting to, in a sense, get towards completing the scenario. So in that scenario now, describe what it is, what are the target audiences, how would it operate, what is its market potential. And then at the bottom is sort of that bottom line. So what are the financial implications of that? What sort of funding profile would be needed? Would the outside funding be needed currently? It's a kind of county operation, but how would that affect the type of support that would be needed to operate that scenario? So again, there's a kind of a holistic approach to evaluating the scenarios, and always, while this sort of, it seems to be very self-contained and it's consistent doing this, really, it is very much drawing on the existing operators, drawing on the community's input to the plan to see how that scenario might play in your community. Okay, so it's not just a simple black box, but it's really an evaluation that this is how you go about it from a diagrammatic perspective, and the scenarios would be evaluated from those different directions. Okay, questions about that?
Will this section of the study include the rest of the park that the conservatory is housed on? It's a 60-acre park with a lot of moving parts. So, will you also include in your study the park as a whole and how it fits in? And then the bigger picture with the park system and how it fits into the park system, because we have some sister operations out at Berner Botanical Gardens that feed off each other. Weir Nature Center, a natural areas component of our park system as a whole. So I think the way I look at that top box is organization in terms of capacity and resources. Will you also be looking at, as I said, the park itself where this is housed, and then the rest of the system as a whole?
Sure. So, and again, I certainly want everybody, because it's the first meeting, and that's a very incredibly meaningful question, really an asked question. I'm sure not the definitive answer to that. But if this the first level response would be, well, right around the pink lawn, the space is not highly utilized. Then you move further into the park, and there's the recreational and the sporting, you know, sort of spaces and everything else. So we would be taking our cues, the park system, on, you know, on some of that. Well, how far the park does this go? You know, what is sort of the reading that's more in play and less in play on that, in that basis? Now, then I think a different part of your question, and you know, bear with me, is the idea then of how the future scenario, if you will, would fit with the other horticultural assets, like Boehner and all of that. And again, we it is likely that that would be an important topic in evaluating, you know, a scenario. Well, how does it fit with what's going on at the other assets, you know, so in the other parks and so on. And that would be an evaluative way to think about a given scenario.
This is Bill Lynch. Who will generate the project concepts? Where do you propose that you get ideas about project concepts that might apply to the future of the Horticultural Conservatory?
Just want to start on that, and I'll follow up with you on that side. I certainly want you to, on that one, make sure that, you know, you've got a strong lead on that point.
Sure, I can give that a try.
Yep.
The way we've talked about this is that the analysis, the study and analysis that Bob is going to lead, will identify a range of opportunities, and those opportunities will range from organizational types of subject matter to perhaps other sorts of revenue generation. May also lead us to some physical changes that would benefit the current programs that you have. It may also explore alternative programs that might be held here. So it's a wide range of topics that aren't just physical or architectural by nature. And so then we're going to work with Bob, we meaning the architects at HGA and the rest of the consultant team that might have some value to contribute to that conversation, to bring some of those opportunities together to create scenarios. And those scenarios, you know, might constitute some sort of physical change that would accommodate new programs being held here. It might also include some organizational changes that would enhance the ability for those new programs to be successful and sustain themselves over time. So right now I think we're thinking that this is going to be a pretty broad range of topics that are going to come together into some scenarios, each of which will likely have a physical change involved, but we'll also have some of these other elements in them. And Bob, can you speak to some of the opportunities that might come out of your study?
Yeah, thank you. That was an introduction. And you know, one of the things that we're conscious of, and one of the reasons why I said, Jim, you know, could you lead this, you know, at the start of this important topic, and thank you for bringing it up, Bill, is after also asking the, you know, you, the committee, for your ideas about this. We're going to be talking with county and other stakeholders. What are the ideas that, you know, are in the community? So we keep, you know, we bring in, and HGA brings in notions, you know, nationally and all of that about, you know, best practices and elsewhere, that sort of thing. But we certainly also know, and we really appreciate that people have been, you know, living with adults for years and part of the community, that you have ideas. We certainly want the opportunity for all concerned to come throw out their ideas, because there's any the beginning of a process of this sort, which is somewhat wide open. We certainly want to make sure that I get the filters in so that not only make some great, you know, either partial, you know, towards the scenario or full scenario, whatever it may be, some ideas get in. And then also that provides some input on, you know, what does the community desire in a scenario. So we're really looking for input from the community leadership. In your case, you've kind of been appointed to help out here in that respect, and then paid staff, and again, whoever, whatever stakeholders, you know, should be included in this kind of, you know, open dialogue about what ideas are there for the zones.
This is Bill Lynch again. Will you also be bringing project concepts to us from your experience working with similar groups elsewhere? And how will you go about assessing which of those options to challenge this community with?
Oh, I missed the last couple of words. Pardon me.
Well, I said to... How will you go about determining which of the ideas and experiences you and your group has had elsewhere to challenge us with?
Yeah.
And encouraging, of course, being challenged, right, using that terminology.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that part of that may go to kind of what happens is a little bit of rigidity in these kind of master planning processes here. We're not sure if there's going to be an incredible outpouring of different ideas that are, you know, that pass the first kind of sieve or test of, yeah, that's pretty sensible, or it fits. You know, we don't have to punch, you know, huge hole in the top of the dome. Fit that in, or you know, there's some that are they physically possible, and would they have broad market support? So I think that there's some kind of grading of some of the ideas, and whether there's a lot of different ideas or fewer ideas. Certainly, one of the first questions was, well, how about horticultural uses? And yes, you know, certainly those kind of ideas, but what are the variations? What does that mean in horticultural uses, you know what I mean? And what, you know, and we're going to try to be testing that in that same way of this. There may well be a good way to do this, like filters. Does it fit? How big a capital investment or small capital investment is it? You know, those sorts of things, as well as the market perspective. Is that use really out targeted for a small target audience? Is it more broadly based? Resident market, tourist market, you know, highly repeatable, not repeatable. So as we start to begin with you about the ideas, then the most appropriate, again, I'll use the word filters or lenses to look at that, then would be applied.
That answer your question?
And the other part is, just to finish, make sure I answered your question as fully as I could. And certainly, we hope to, and our team hopes to, have some, you know, good ideas also, again, because that's, you know, our careers are based on, you know, being involved in these sorts of projects and investigating what some of the other comparable projects have done. You know, what they include, that sort of thing. So we certainly will be trying as hard as we can to be, you know, coming up with good ideas as well.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Any other questions on operations and management? If not, we'll move on to the next slide. Social and economic impacts. Bob, you want to take it away?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So, The words here, you know, social and economic impact. So there clearly are community benefits, quality of life, and that sort of thing. The social side, education, and economic impacts, you know, clearly is an idea of activity, you know, multipliers and that sort of thing, as well as tax revenue generated. And so one of the important criteria, both in evaluating what future use zones is based on, well, what are the benefits? And again, the benefits go to, how does it benefit the very close-in community as well as, you know, Milwaukee and the county as a whole, as sort of the, you know, the community. And then the economic impacts, which are kind of more diffuse, but when you're making investments in public infrastructure, that's, you know, very much part of the criteria that political leadership used in saying, yeah, this is a project worth doing, you know, worth spending a public dollars on, or maybe getting public-private partnership or whatever it may be to invest in the property. So both of those sides are evaluated as part of the rationale for making those investments and in tweaking or changing, you know, to whatever degree, what's going on with the domes in the future.
Okay, thanks. Any questions about this slide and some of the points that Bob made? Okay, the last element here, and Bob, I'll lead with this. You can add if you like. The fifth element is site structure and facilities. And as I mentioned when I opened, there have been lots of studies, as you well know, on the site structure and facilities here. The county has a lot of records of what has transpired in terms of renovations and other sort of maintenance that has occurred. You're well aware of some of the structural studies and renovation cost estimates that came along with those. The point of our study here is not to redo something that someone's already done, but to take full advantage of some of those previous studies and apply that knowledge to the analysis that Bob has walked us through in the first 4 points. And so all of that then comes together to sort of create these opportunities and scenarios that we've talked about. This one is a fairly pragmatic element, but there might be limitations in the existing structure, in the existing site, in existing facilities that might limit our ability to advance some of the opportunities that might come up in the other studies. So somehow we've got to be able to put all of this together and understand the financial impacts and feasibility of advancing any of these scenarios. So that's the fifth one, and again, it's not so much new study, but really understanding what has been analyzed before and trying to take full advantage of that as we develop some scenarios. So any questions about number five?
Yeah, that's top five.
Okay, Russ is going to take us to the finish line here.
So as we've talked about, this is more conceptual, so there's all these opportunities that are out there, and this diagram is just supposed to show how these opportunities will produce different scenarios depending on the combinations. Some opportunities are compatible with other opportunities, some are not, but this is just kind of a diagram of what conceptually we see the path going. And, you know, our preconceived notions, even before we started, when we answered the RFP, is we looked at that there are some opportunities that we as a team recognize that, you know, we want to develop the audience a little further. What can we do to the physical environment to support the scenarios that we develop? How can we bring up the visitor experience? As Bob had talked about, are there some opportunities in the operations and organization of the domes? Obviously, this is a historic building, and we want to study how to preserve it, and how is it a neighbor that's why it's so great to have you guys here. You're right next door. Obviously, we want to improve the economic outcome and then sustainability in many realms. Sustain the historic buildings, plant collections themselves, and then the message of the of our building is environmental sustainability as well as economic sustainability. This isn't it's not without its challenges. And as we know, the buildings are aged, and there's a lot of things, even besides the structure, that needs to be looked at. Depending on where we go, there's some site infrastructure that may need to be upgraded. Maybe there's some obsolete spaces, or, for example, maybe a better area for presentations. But if you want, that I could think of. And then the seasonal change of enhancing the visitor experience, because as we understand it, there's a lot of variation of attendance based on the season. And then how can we get as much revenue from the current operations, and then what are those other categories of work, and then looking at operating efficiencies. And then I think there's a lot of opportunity for attracting non-government partners, maybe through research grants or just downtown grants from some of the organizations in the city.
Why don't we stop there for a moment? I'm going to go back to the slide. I guess this might be a nice opportunity just to make sure that I'm just going to shout here for a moment. This might be a good opportunity for us to just have a conversation with you about opportunities and challenges that perhaps you haven't heard us talk about today, things that you think are critically important to the to this study, to be a viable study that will actually help you advance this topic forward. I guess we want to hear from you. Any suggestions, thoughts, key topics that you really want to emphasize here tonight, to make sure that we don't miss those?
Thank you. I did look at some of the information you provided ahead of time. You know, one of the challenges is parking, because you're talking about increasing attendance, yet when we've had large events here, the parking situation has always been an issue. That ties into what John mentioned about the park, the use of the park. The neighborhood group is trying to have musical entertainment in the evenings and that. So how does the facility integrate into the park? The original conservatory did not face 27th Street. It faced Mineral Street. So when the new facility was built, it sort of turned its back onto the park. So how do we integrate back into the park? That's a key thing.
Great point.
Another comment under the goals, you know, great goals, but there's not an emphasis on the plants and the collection here. What does the conservatory want to be? Do they want to be known for having the largest Madagascar plant collection, or the tallest tree under glass? There needs to be more of an emphasis on what does the conservatory have to offer that would bring people here. You do have a comment here about attract new audience, especially out-of-towners. I believe you can get information from the conservatory here. The majority of the attendance is out-of-town. It is not local. People, you know, it's years that they've been here. So I think the goal is to try to attract the local people again. What's encouraging to come back? We do have 5 changing floral shows a year. That does bring a lot of people back to the facility. Years ago, there was talk about, because of cost, just turning it into a planted dome like the rest of the domes. But then you don't have that attraction of change for people to come back here. That's all I've got. Is there anyone else?
Yes, thanks, Roger. Yes, the emphasis on the park itself as a whole, and then, as I said before, how does this, our core service here, relate to some of the other facilities that we have that complement each other? Berner Botanical Gardens and that organization and structure there, the resources there, as well as our natural areas. Natural resources is part of our mission. This goes along with that. How does this facility, the services, the product, contribute and complement the system as a whole?
One of the things I'm excited about, given the capacity of the group that you've put together for the consulting team, is the ability to look at comparability of this facility, and even within the context of the park and the park system, to other cities and other facilities that are similar. I'm excited that you're looking at different possible patterns of the revenue model. This is a completely public sector model right now. How does it compare to other completely public sector models? And then maybe if there's a matrix of, you know, private-public partnerships and how it might compare given the potential that you identify. So I guess I'm really interested in comparing the domes and the facility to other comparable opportunities or comparable facilities in other communities and how they're supported.
Yeah, that's a great question. Certainly part of the evaluation of the results of taking it forward. Thank you.
Mr. Haas?
Once you start, you can
stop. All right. Thank you. Several years ago, when the troubles began here, the time of troubles began here. I got a lot of calls from my constituents. I represent several score thousand people, 10,000 people in the county, and a lot of them called up, mostly, I'll say, generally older residents, people who had grown up with the domes in the county that had always been part of their life, and their cry was, "Save the domes!" But at the same time, my opinion is that there's been some local forgetting about the domes. They're always here. They've always been here. So my question really is, how can we bring the folks back, local folks back, create a new local emphasis? Which, that's Parks Department's credit. They have been doing that. With the Winter Farmers Market brought a good attendance boost during that season. But how can local folks rediscover the domes? And what opportunities could come from that? I'm very interested also to learn from you what you found about the model of operation that we have here and that exists elsewhere. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you very much on that. So often, nowadays, cultural institutions get the local audience by having things happen there. You may be familiar with, say, modern art museums, and they're growing, you know, social events targeted at young people. Or, you know, there's a lot. Ultimately, it does go to programming and having a really cool place to have programming, and then building up the domes as one of the places where I do things, you know, as the audience, and it becomes cool to be there. You know, whether that's for older people or younger people or whatever, I mean, cool is important for all sorts of people. And so I think oftentimes it does go to organization and the ability to make things happen in that respect, whatever, you know, those programs, you mentioned farmers markets, well, what else? And then having the physical capacity, parking was mentioned, the physical capacity inside, the spaces you need, infrastructure. So in that sort of a scenario, we might call that the happen in place scenario. So that would be the way to think about that happen in place scenario would be, again, that you have the parking, you have the physical space, you have this, you have this, and to make events and you have to build up to it takes time, but can you sustain efforts to build up that usage pattern? You have the financial wherewithal to get it going. A group of people or organizations that will be the partners making it go. So that would be one way of thinking about the cool and happening place in Aviel.
Hi, this is Don McCarthy. I guess one question I would have is the members of the task force represent stakeholder groups, but how will the public be able to weigh in early on? Because I think that they're an important. I just think there's going to be a ton of ideas out there that are good ideas.
You must be farther away from the microphone. I couldn't really understand you. Jim, maybe would you help me out in that respect or answer it?
Sure. The question that Don had related to how will the public have the opportunity to provide some input and then help with the assessment of the opportunities and scenarios. Is that fair, Don? Did you get that, Bob?
Yes, and I think that there should be at least some interim in the first phase, some sort of an invite to have some sort of an open house and all of that. But one of the things that is interesting about public input is something like the following. You know how focus groups work, and maybe some of you have been in focus groups, and what happens is we're behind the glass, and if you ask people, like, what flavor should Coke be? And they all look at you and go, what? But if you show them, if you try Cherry Coke and Vanilla Coke, and I don't know what other flavors of Coke, but there are other flavors of Coke, you try them. And people would be so smart to go, Cherry Coke, this Vanilla Coke is out of control, it's fantastic. And the folks, so the point being that, opening the dialogue, right at the beginning and saying to the general public, gee, please write on a piece of paper what would be great ideas of don't. It wouldn't be as effective as offering up to the public some ideas, some concepts. And they may say about my cool and happening place, everybody's going to be hissing and putting on flowers. Don't do that. And we go, that's a great, good point, if you know what I mean. So I think that kind of public input really works well when there's an initial round of work that get some ideas together so that the public can react. Because I know for me it's really hard to, kind of go into a situation kind of cold and say, what color what flavor should we throw into Coke to make it better? And I may say cinnamon. That could be the worst idea going. But if I had some pre-tested ideas, I might then be really helpful to the Coca-Cola, company in evaluating vanilla and cherry Coke.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Other questions or suggestions for project concepts and what some of our challenges are?
Anything we're forgetting?
Roger?
You mentioned challenges, so one more comment. I've been involved with the domes for quite a long time, Every time that there's been an admission increase, the attendance has gone down. The Milwaukee community would not support like a $15 admission fee for this facility. So that's definitely going to be a challenge, is trying to determine what price point the community is willing to pay.
I think with admission, it might be what is the final concept. And if it's very innovative, there's partners, you know, whatever the final concept might drive admission, and someone might pay a higher admission because there's some innovative, unique thing going on in here. You know, there might be a theater added. There might be, it was just in D.C. at the African American Museum, they have very interactive, visual, audio, sensory, smells, all going on at once. And I think as we go into the future, there's so many other different, very cool, innovative, interactive, that will engage community, might bring locals back, might bring kids back into the domes, that just like Discovery World, that you can demand a higher admission to help support all the very innovative, cool things going on.
Any other questions? I have a couple of thoughts. I think we should be seeing the greenhouses and the very substantial investment there as a opportunity that presents some challenges for integration of the best use of the greenhouses with the best uses of the traditional domes. I also think that we should be looking to how the vision for the domes can meet community needs of the community around here. There may be overlapping needs, needs for community space, place for activities and meetings, and a larger facility than we are now. Too. And so exploring the ways in which there could be a partnership with the community to meet community needs that may be articulated differently from wanting to have a horticultural conservatory, but meet those needs nonetheless. So I also think that we need to look very carefully at restoration and renovation alternatives early in this process. I think that if we leave to the end whether or not there are alternatives for restoring and repairing them, then we won't be able to analyze well scenarios that include remaining here with the domes that we have now.
One quick comment I would make. I heard you know, multiple uses, and that's that is a hallmark, you know, of success, is to have different ways for different audiences to use a facility at different times. You know, so I think that's an important thought. Let's hold on to that one, because it really is, you know, putting together, you know, you've got my out-of-the-box idea to start of making it a cool, happening place. Well, now on Tuesday afternoons or Tuesday mornings, it's not going to be acting as a cool, happening place, but hopefully there's something going on at the dome then, being educationally oriented, or, you know, for seniors, or, you know, whatever makes sense. To use the space then, and to have that be a positive outcome and hopefully a positive financial benefit and all of that. So that's an important point for sure.
Okay. I think that wraps up what we were going to present today, unless Bill, you have something else you'd like us to speak to?
Aspects of this that the task force would like to address? Sarah, you good?
Just to
suggestion that you might want to talk about the schedule and the potential of a September meeting or skip?
Yes, it seems that one thing that we may have moved toward identifying is the need to have a gathering of some sort that will allow for input of ideas about uses of this facility for the future. And it also, from looking at the time frame,